So we've had good news preached to us, just as the Israelites did, but the word they heard did not benefit them. The word of the Lord, the powerful preached word of the Lord, they didn't benefit because they were not united, standing together with those who listened with faith. For we who have believed enter that rest. I love what Alexander McLaren said. By the way, I was going to share it later, but it should have gone here. Who is Alexander McLaren? McLaren was born in Glasgow. Woo, baby. All for you, bro. Nathaniel. You should know Alexander McLaren then. Born in Glasgow, February 11th, 1826, and died in Manchester on May 5th, 1910. He had been for almost 65 years a minister entirely devoted to his calling. He lived more than almost any of the great preachers of his time between his study, his pulpit, and his pen. But man, I'm going to read some of his stuff today because it was so good. He said that faith, not death, is the gate to participation in Christ's rest. Now, Hebrews 4 talks about several things. The divine rest, then it talks about the rest we have an opportunity to partake of while we're on earth, and then that rest that comes when we leave this earth and enter into our glorified bodies and we are in a whole new level of rest. But I want to talk about the rest on earth because we're here now. For now, we're here. And so we need to enter into that rest and find that rest because that rest is critical. It is the only way to enter that rest is through faith, because we can hear the word, and if we aren't in a place of rest and trust of God, we don't benefit from even the written, the spoken, declared word of God. That is that tragic? Like, you could do all the right things. You could read your Bible and pray and read the word out loud. And guess what? You can be unaffected and not benefited because you're not operating in faith. And so, again, folks, again and again and again, this isn't about doing all the right things or not doing the right things. It's about your heart. What's in your heart? Are you doing things with the right heart? Are you not doing things with the right heart? And we've been talking about this for weeks, about the soil of our heart. And it is critical. In fact, it'll depend and, it'll determine whether what you do is actually acceptable or not to God. Look at Cain and Abel. You know, it all came down to what was their heart. That is what caused their sacrifice to be acceptable. This is a tough message. We're going to keep reading right in verse 3 of Hebrews 4. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he is said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in the passage, they certainly shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, meaning some not, and those who previously had good news preached to them failed to enter. Why? Because of disobedience. So it is possible for some of us to enter the rest of God and some of us not to, depending on whether we obey or not. Is that like, it's so simple, right? I mean, none of this is like, whoa, what a powerful revelation, Sean. But you know what? It's something all of us need to deal with like right now. Every single moment. And we forget. We need to be reminded of these simple things that actually will determine the total outcome of your effectiveness in Christ. Something in here that no one else sees, but you see it, the Lord sees it. And we're not out to impress anybody, we're out to impress Him, the one who we will stand before at the end of our life and give an account for everything. And everything we will give an account for. And I just pray that I could get as much stuff under the blood as I can. Right? That it is washed into the sea of forgetfulness and that won't be brought up. Some things I would just prefer not being brought up in a multitude of people as we're all standing in line. He again sets a certain day. Today, saying through David, after so long a time, as just been said before today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now, I want to just hit this for a second because, again, things were given to us as a type of things to come. Like in the Old Testament, like days of the week or festivals, they were given to us as a symbol of something more real in the heavenlies, right? Like the tabernacle was given to us as a symbol of the true living tabernacle, right? The days of the week, the festivals, they weren't given to us to follow as gospel. They were given to us to realize they represent seasons in God where we need to celebrate and not forget, right? So this same thing, it is not referring to one day where you take physical rest. It's referring to every day, like he said to David here, as I swore in my, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. It's talking about every day being a Sabbath where you say, did you hear my voice? If you did, don't harden your hearts. Keep them open and pliable. That is your place of rest. It is a place of trust, thanksgiving, devotion to God. Every day is a Sabbath day. It needs to be. We're desperate for our rest in God. Do you know how many people take so much rest and they're burnt out? You ever wondered about that? And how many people work so hard and their life is so full of activity, but yet they're vibrant and full of life? Why people in the Bible that we read about and martyrs that we hear about in history, they're beaten to death, yet their hearts are full of joy. How does that all happen? They found their place of rest in Christ. And we are so temporal and earthbound. We're just so affected by the physical things because we are very immature as believers. We have not found our rest in Christ. It's why we get in emotional turmoil when anything doesn't go according to what we have planned. Something shifts in the day and we fall apart like, my God, my plan has changed. This could not go worse. Well, it could go worse. Always could get worse. Always. 100%. For if Joshua had given them rest, verse 8, he would not have spoken of another day after that. Consequently, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let's make every effort to enter that rest. If I titled this message, it would be Labor for His Rest. Just to provide the tension that you need to see so clearly. That it's not throwing your arms up and say, oh, well. It's laboring, making every effort to enter his rest so that no one will fall by following the same examples of disobedience. Now, disobedience, folks, isn't just like sleeping around. Disobedience is having a critical heart instead of a thankful heart. Seeing the glass half empty rather than half. It's these small things, the small foxes that spoil the vine. It's the things that, I mean, because hopefully we're all growing to a place of maturity where we're not out getting wasted and partying and sleeping around and We lose composure, lose every bit of sight of God. Hopefully, we're growing as a community where we're like, we're actually trying to put on character and take off the old stuff, right? And we're trying to walk into new and develop good habits and develop character and godliness, right? We're like in 1 Peter from last week where we're adding to virtue self-control and love and brotherly kindness and perseverance. We're like trying to build a life before the Lord, right? That's hopefully where we are. So it's the small things. It's the lack of thanksgiving. It's the lack of patience. It's the lack of perseverance. It's the lack of sacrificial love. It's the lack of looking and seeing love, seeing good in everything. Doesn't mean we can't talk about the problems, but those problems are tempered and corralled with this boundary of the goodness of the Lord, the ability and the might for God to do whatever he wants to do. And a trust in that, undergirding everything, is this joy that he is going to fulfill his promises. Don't worry, he's going to do it, but we do have to deal with this thing here. But all in the context of, but he's great and gracious and loving and kind and long-suffering, and he is going to do it. If there's anyone that can do it, God is able to do it. And that is what, like, surrounds all of our discussions, all our thoughts, is this greatness of God and his faithfulness. Preach it, Shawnee boy. For the word of, now, I found this remarkable that after it just said, therefore, let's make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following the same example of disobedience. Look at what follows it. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You're saying like, oh man, how do we make every effort to enter the rest? The word of the Lord, declaring it, walking it, trusting it. That's how. Worry in the word. I love how, I don't even know where that originated, but the idea, because we all know how to worry well, right? All of us. Oh, we got our PhD in that. PhDW, baby, right here. PhD in worry. Well, if we can take that skill set that we've mastered, and just shift it a little bit to the word of the Lord and worry the word, that's, I don't have to say anymore. You all know how to master entering into his rest because we start worrying the word. We start thinking, oh, the word of God, I just can't get my mind off it. I just got to think about it. And then I'm going to go over and over and over that word in my mind. And I'm going to meditate and I'm going to think of his greatness and his goodness and his ability that supersedes anything that we face, the word of God. And then again, it's coming down to this, the word is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him to whom we must answer. Wow. See, it's all a matter of the heart, not our physical body. Not a physical type like we that was communicated in the Old Testament so that we could see physical examples of spiritual realities. That it wasn't about one day of no activity. It was about every day of surrender and trusting in God and entering that rest that he is sufficient and he is able. Woo, preach it. Yeah. Therefore, since we have a great and high priest who has passed through the heavens, verse 14, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold firmly. This is all such aggressive, active speech, right? Let's hold firmly to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let's approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help in the time of our need. And this is the whole point of rest. Rest is that we aren't shaken by anything we're going through because we have such confidence that he has everything under control. That is rest. That is rest. That is a place, I mean, folks, people would pay millions of dollars to try to acquire that if they could, because their life is a fury of worry and concern and stress. This alone would relieve all problems due to stress. All manner of psychological ailments, to be able to just go, I have not a care in the world. Come on, brother. I've opened up a Pandora's box. Hashtag Shawnee boy. Here we go. Come on, Bruce. It's this place of resting in the confidence of his sufficiency, our provision, our peace is from God, not ourselves. You know, speaking of just prayer, right? Because I believe this accommodation was to get our hearts right and grow in relationship and fruitfulness of God. I believe with everything in me that some of the aggravation that it's caused and things like that is God taking his finger and poking us. So when you start thinking of like our response that's not so favorable, start thinking, oh, sorry, God, because it's not anyone's finger, it's God. And would that change your response? Would that change, you know, how you view things? If you think that absence of activity is his rest, you are still centered on yourself. You've not found his rest. If you find prayer or anything you do as a Christian as your works, you are still centered on yourself and have a deeper heart issue. You still have not found his rest. If we have a proper understanding of his rest, then everything we do is a demonstration of our trust in him. Listen to what Alexander McLaren said. And by the way, he's just this amazing Baptist guy in Scotland. Rachel, where are you? Did you hear that? Like Christ, like God, can it be? It can be with certain differences, but oh, Alexander says, the differences drop into insignificance when we think of just the mere resemblances. Whether a man's capable of knowing absolute truth or not, he is capable of coming into direct and personal contact with the absolute reality, the truth of truth. And whether we here below, we can know anything about God as he is or not, this at all events, the New Testament teaches us that we can come to be like him in the substance of our souls, like him, copy of his perfections, like him, shadow and resemblance of some of his attributes. And here lies the foundation for the belief that we can enter into his rest. We cannot possess the changeless tranquility, which knows no variations of purpose or desire, but we can possess the stable repose of that fixed nature which knows one object and one alone. We cannot possess that energy with after all work is fresh and unbroken. But we can possess the tranquility which in all toil is not troubled. And after all work is ready for yet greater service. This like one quote is like, oh, it articulates my whole saying. I just always tell the leadership, like, listen, just pray that God enlarges your capacity. And this is where I'm coming from, is this place that toil has lost its trouble if you are truly operating in his rest. Because after a huge week just loaded with just running all over the place, just giving of yourself, pouring yourself out, if it's done in rest, you're like, where's the next gig? What you got for me, God? It's when you're not walking in rest that you get wiped out and swept away and burnt out. Again, all a heart issue, not about activity. And that's what I thought Alexander was speaking to in this place of, we can possess that tranquility which in all toil is not troubled. And after all work is ready for yet greater service. We cannot possess the unwavering fire of a divine nature which burns in love without flickering, which knows without learning, which wills without irresolution and without acts of decision. But we can come to love deeply, tranquilly, perpetually. We can come to know without questioning, without doubts, without darkness, in firm confidence of stable assurance. And so know with something like the knowledge of him who knows things as they are, we can come to will and resolve so strongly, so fixedly, wisely, that there shall be no change of purpose, nor any vacillation of desire. In these ways, in shadow and copy, we can resemble even the apparently incommunicable tranquility, which, like an atmosphere that knows no tempest, belongs to and encircles the throne of God. I love this Scotsman. Oh, but still further, faith, which is the means of entering into rest, will, if you cherish it, make your life no unworthy resemblance of his, who triumphant above works for us and working for us, rests from all his toil. Trust Christ is the teaching here. Trust Christ, and a great benediction of tranquil repose comes down upon thy calm mind and upon your settled heart. Trust Christ, and so your soul will no longer be like the sea that cannot rest, full of turbulent wishes, full of passionate desires that come to nothing, full of endless meanings like the homeless ocean that is ever working and never flings up any product of its work but yeasty foam and broken weeds. But your heart shall become translucent and still, like some landlocked lake where no winds rave nor tempests ruffle, and on its calm surface there shall be mirrored the clear shining of the unclouded blue and the perpetual light of the sun that never goes down. Trust Christ, and rest is yours. He said, rest is thine. I'll stick to it. Rest from fear, rest from toil and trouble, rest from sorrow, rest from the tossings of your own soul, rest from the tumults of thine own desires, rest from the stings of your own conscience. Rest from seeking to work out a righteousness of your own. Trust Christ. Cease from thine own works. Forsake your own doings. And abjure and abandon your own righteousness. And though God's throne be far above thee, and the depth of that being in incommunicable to and uncopyable by you, yet a divine likeness of his still and blessed and unbroken repose shall come down and lie a solid and substantial thing on thy pure and calmed spirit. Scotland, they might go, spirit. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. Say then, my Lord rests, and my Father, I will trust him. I will rest in the Lord, and he shall keep me in perfect peace, because my mind is stayed on him. That is an act of surrender, a trust in God, an obedience to place him first. It becomes a demonstration of rest from our own works. Thank you, Alexander. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray today that you would teach us this rest. Father, we pray that you would pour out upon us your grace, your goodness. We pray you forgive us, Lord God. We pray you forgive us for thinking too highly of ourselves and leaning on our own understanding and in our ways not acknowledging you, but going our own way and doing our own thing and having our own agenda. Lord, whether it's our own selfish things or even if it's things that we do for you with the wrong heart, not one of trusting and surrender, one of all these other things. It could be performance or trying to prove our worth or gain favor from you or other people, Lord God. We just want the simplicity of a restful heart, Father. That any storm that comes, that word rest means calming the waves. I thank you for this active outpouring of the ability to grow in rest on every single listener here. Pray that, Lord God, you would, as we talked about last week, that you'd remove the thorns from our soil, that we wouldn't be choked by the things around us, the cares of the world, the situations, the circumstances, the thoughts. Lord, we pray that you teach us and gird us about to weed our own gardens, using the word and the authority of Christ, taking authority, actively cleaning out our gardens. Thank you so much, Lord God, that your word is powerful. I thank you, Father, that you've given us everything we need for life and godliness. We just surrender to you all of our cares, Lord, all the ways that we're self-centered, all the ways that we use human wisdom, humanism, all of that to judge things around us. Lord, we make a commitment today and ask that you come and flood our hearts. Use us. Move through us, Lord God, in a powerful way. Transform us. That we would enter your rest. Let faith arise in our hearts. Let the word of God cut the trail, cut the path through the jungle around us, Father, through the world. And let us have that clear, lit path before us of obedience to you, Lord God. That is our pursuit. You, Lord. Lord, teach us to see. Open our eyes to see those thorns, those small foxes that spoil the vine. Teach us to be thankful and full of love, looking to you, trusting you. Teach us the simplicity of joy. Lord, as those disciples in the early days in the book of Acts just broke bread from house to house with simplicity and joy in their hearts. Lord, teach us that. Lead us into a place where at the Crossing Life Church, we understand and live that kind of life with simplicity and joy in our hearts. We take all the complexity, we take all the difficult decisions, and we lay them at the cross and say, Lord, what say you? Break it down to simplicity and joy. Break it down to simplicity of obedience. Teach us, guide us, lead us. I pray for every person in this room, Lord, from and listening online to us. And in that room inside, Father, I pray every ear that hears the word of the Lord would be encouraged and strengthened, Lord. I pray for a supernatural impartation and outpouring of hunger today, that we would just be sparked into action of pursuit of you. Lord, I pray for our whole classroom of the prayer watches, that you would pour out life, enough life, that people would be drawn to be transformed. Lord, continue your work. Continue drawing us. Lord, I don't ask for you not to knock us over the head some, because you are a father who proves your love with discipline. So, Lord, discipline. We receive your discipline. We receive the things that we don't like from you, because we want the prize set before us, that transformed nature, that we could be like you. Oh God, our heart longs to be like you. Daddy, we want to be like you. Oh, come on, just cry out to God for your own life, your own heart. He is so good. And if you ask for a loaf of bread or a fish, he's not going to give you a rock. He is better than any other imperfect father on this earth. You would call them wicked compared to his perfect loving kindness and his goodness. That if he sees his son ask for a fish, he's going to give him one when it's in accordance with his will. Oh, come on, just... I dare you, I double dare you, ask for goodness from God right now. If you're here in this place and you don't know him, you don't know his love, ask him right now for him to pour out his love in your heart, and he'll do it. Thank you, Lord. Come on, we're just gonna worship some, and I just want you, don't sing until you've communicated to God like your prayer out of your heart. That he would bring you into his rest, that place of total trust and security.